Alleluia. That is just one of my testimonies. I don't know what you all think about when you think of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And whether you ever think of the Lord. But I do know when I think of the Lord, how he saved me. Mm-hmm. How he raised me. How he filled me with the Holy Ghost. How when I was going in the wrong direction, he turned me around. Yes. So when I just think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Yeah. When I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, it makes me want to shout. I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about my journey and all the things I did wrong and all the things I've gone through, all the hurt and all the pain, it makes me want to shout. So if you see me dancing and you see me running, it's because I feel like shouting for the Lord because he's been so good to me. Yes. See, I don't know your story. He's healed my body. Oh, yes, he has. Yes. He's turned me around when I got things all twisted.
Yes.
He healed my pain when I was hurt.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So when I think about the Lord, it makes me want to shout.
Yeah.
So I said, excuse me sometimes.
Jesus.
See, I walk around shouting in the spirit a whole lot. I try to keep my feet still sometimes, but they keep moving.
It's all right.
Do y'all know the God I'm talking about? When I think about the Lord, how he raised me. When I think about the Lord, I gotta get this out.
Yeah.
Take your time now, take your time.
How he healed me.
Yeah. Jesus.
It makes me wanna
shout. Yeah.
See, has God ever done anything for you? Just let me talk to you all. Has God ever done anything for you that you couldn't figure out how it happened? God ever done anything for you? See, I know some people are a little quieter about these things. They kind of look it and they're quiet and they thank you, Jesus. But when I think about God,
hallelujah,
it just makes me want to shout.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Say, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. I can't help that. Y'all gonna have to give me a little bit of that.
Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Hallelujah,
thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah,
thine the glory. Revive us again.
Hallelujah,
thine the glory.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah,
thine the glory.
Revive us again.
Man, hallelujah. Sometimes we need a revival. Because life has a lot for us. We go through so much, you all. Sometimes we just need a revival. So give God all the praise when you need a revival. Just stand still and start to praise him. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us, Lord, all of us again. Because life has some turns and some twists, and life hurts sometimes, church. But we can always go to God in prayer and praise Him. You cannot cry and weep when you're praising the Lord. You'll get yourself into a praise mode. Whatever you're going through, start singing praises unto the Lord. Start praising Him and watch things change. See, I know that for a testimony. I just know it. I've been hurt so much. But when I start praising God, the atmosphere changed. Then I go, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. It changes things. Amen. There is a word from the Lord today. Amen. But I'm just so excited because I watched God do something powerful this week. I watched the power of God change some things. I watched God be God this week. I just watched God be God. When I get baffled, it's just good to know that God is. God is able. Amen. So I asked you to get a Bible, and we're going to the Gospel of Matthew. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, our God, our everything, our all in all, our provider, our shield, our rock, our comforter. We bow before you, God, to say thank you once again. Thank you, God, for this Communion Sunday, God. Thank you, God, for your visitation today, Lord God. Thank you, God, for your healing power, God. Just thank you, God, for just loving and providing and forgiving us. So, yes, we do bow before you and say, yes, we have messed up, and we'll confess our sins. But more than that, God, we're going to ask you for your forgiveness. We're going to ask you, God, for your forgiveness, and that you would restore in each one of us clean and righteous hearts, Lord God. And God, let the past be the past, God. As you forgive us, let us forgive ourselves, God, and keep on walking and don't look back to the past. Now, Holy Spirit, we just pray, God, that you would have your way in this place. We have gathered, God, because we need to hear word from you, God. So, God, meet the needs of your people now, that you would comfort them, that you would empower them, that you would encourage them, Lord God, to press on to see what the end is going to be. So Holy Spirit, if there be anything in me now, purge me, wash me, take it away right now in the name of Jesus so that I can hear clearly from you. Father God, if you give it to me, I will declare it to your people in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, I will. So may your power, God, and your presence and your anointing and your glory be felt throughout this building. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Let the church say amen. 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 The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. When you have found the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, I ask that you stand all over the sanctuary in reverence to God's holy word. Matthew, chapter 22. Starting with verse 34. So once you're into 22, go over to verse 34. And the scripture will be coming from 34 to 40. 34 through 40. And it reads this way in the NIV Bible. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You may be seated. The word of Jesus for the church. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus went further to say, this is the first and the great commandment. Jesus said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. A morning scripture is one of the two that abundant life has committed to follow. We've committed that as a church, we're going to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We committed that. For the members that came to our annual meeting, we have committed that as a church. And the second is like it. We're going to love each other. We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. But we went a little further than just saying that in our meeting. We said that we're also going to commit to the Great Commission. So for you all that were not here, I want you to know what your church stands for. And if someone asked you, you'll be able to tell them that we stand for the Great Commandment. And we stand behind the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And it reads this way for those of you that were not present. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always. So a message this morning for Abundant Life is entitled, Love is the Answer. I hear a lot of chatter this morning, so I'm going to pray that the Spirit of the Lord just wipe it out. Because nothing should compete with the Word of God and when the Word of God is coming forth. So I'm praying in the name of Jesus that our church will be obedient to the Spirit and hear what thus says the Lord for us this morning. And yes, Brother Rudy, I know I have a reputation for teaching and preaching and talking about love. This is because in my heart, I sincerely believe that love can solve most of our problems here on earth. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter that love covers a multitude of sins. And church, I just believe this. I believe it so passionately that I'm writing even my dissertation for graduation. Over 100 pages is about love. And it's about the love here at Abundant Life Christian Ministry. Because we have committed here that we're going to represent God well. Because Jesus said this is the greatest of all commandments. If we can't get this right, we are wasting our time coming here. If we can't love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, and if we can't love each other, we're wasting our time coming here every Sunday. But I don't know why. You all, come on, help me. Why is it so difficult to love each other? Just think about it. Why is it so difficult to love each other? Why? Ask yourself that. Why is it so difficult for me, make it personal, to act loving? I'm not going to do like Dr. Mayman asked you, do you have any questions? But just think about it. Why am I not loving? Hallelujah. So as we look at our morning text, something for you all to think about. The words of Jesus written by Matthew. And Matthew was a tax collector, and most of you all know that. He was personally selected by Jesus to go out and minister to the people. Now, just before this 22nd chapter, or the point where we started, Jesus had just finished having confrontations with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. See, their goal was to discredit Jesus. Have you ever had anybody that want to assassinate your character and discredit you? But that was their mission. They wanted to embarrass Jesus. But they didn't realize that truly he was the Son of the living God. So let's be real. They were fighting a losing battle. How can you win when you're fighting Jesus? Amen. You can't fight Jesus and win. Now, the Pharisees asked Jesus a legal question. So they knew the Old Testament. So they went straight to the Bible, and they wanted to debate with Jesus. Okay, Jesus, what is the great commandment? What is the greatest in the Bible? They thought they could entrap Jesus by forcing him to start to debate about this issue. But see, Jesus was Jesus. There was no doubt what the greatest commandment was. So he just said to them simply, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. So I asked you this question, really, do you love the Lord? Do you love God? In Sunday school this morning, there was a discussion about two friends that were discussing her behavior. And her friend looked at her and said, don't you love God? Now, if you love God, I heard a lot of yeses out there, but you love God based on your obedience to his word. This may be a tough message for some, but are you obedient to this word? So it's easy to say, I love someone, and it's easy to talk about love, but does your action show your love for God? Come on, people of God. Will people know that you love the Lord based on what you do? And I'm going to walk through this thing very slowly this morning because I want you all to ponder. But see, God has a special mission for abundant life, but we have to be a loving church. So if you walk outside this building, whatever you do from Monday to Saturday, will people know you love the Lord? Will people know by what you say out of your mouth that you love the Lord? This is so much fun because y'all are just looking at me like, will she move on and tell us a joke or something? But can people really tell? So this was taken from Deuteronomy 5 and 6, but Jesus added, love God with your mind. See, Jesus was concerned about our mind. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what's the perfect will of God. So I asked you this morning, do you know the perfect will of God for your life? One question. Next question is, what are you putting in your mind? If you want to be in the will of God, people of God, what are you putting in your mind? Are you renewing your mind with this word? See, the mind is vital. And we must be intentional about what we put in it. Yeah, I'm going to slow walk this thing. You have to be intentional. I asked you this. What books do you read? You're sowing it in your mind. What TV programs are you watching? Because that's what's getting in your mind and in your spirit. What videos are you watching? It's going in your mind and in your spirit. What movies do you watch at 2 a.m. in the morning? It's going in your mind and in your spirit. So I asked you again, what are you putting in your mind? I've heard people say, oh, that's just a movie. That's just TV. We know it's not real. But you're putting it in your spirit and in your mind. So I asked you, what are you putting in your mind, people of God? What are you renewing your mind with over and over again? Paul said, renew your mind by focusing on this word. Let's be real this morning. I can't make eye contact with some of y'all because you're looking down. But I do get to feel some spirits. What are you putting in your mind? People of God, what are you putting in your mind? Hallelujah. I would just say, be careful. Jesus has already told us the two great commandments. But if we sow the wrong seed in our minds, we're not going to be loving. We're watching a lot of violence and craziness on TV. And we begin to live those things out and act those things out. But the Bible says casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought under captivity to the obedience of God. So what are you putting in your mind? What you're watching, is it in line with the word of God? Will it make you act more obedient to this word? What are you feeding your mind? The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you have the mind of Christ this morning? Do you have the mind of Christ this morning? Can people tell that you have the mind of Christ? The Apostle Paul suggests some things to us, and then we're going to get back to our main topic, which is love. But this mind thing, if you're going to love God with all your mind, you can't clutter it with stuff. You have to fill your mind and your heart with this word. But Paul wrote it this way, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. So I'm just wondering, if I pass the mic around this morning and ask each person, what's on your mind and what are you thinking about it and what are you feeding your mind? I'm just wondering what the answer may be. When you're in church, what do you be really thinking about, you all? I know that's funny. What do you really be thinking about? It reminds me of what this young lady asked her friend. Don't you love God? Because see, our action tells us whether we love God. Do we love the world and the things of this world? So are we thinking about how we're going to get that next meal or what are we going to eat after church? Where are we going? The next movie? When is scandal coming on again? What are you thinking about? In church, what are you thinking about? See, this is God. I don't have this stuff written down. But God is asking his people, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Jesus Jesus said this, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. It tells who you are. So when you speak to people, what are you talking about? Really? Because it tells people what, who you are and what's really on your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what do you talk about when you talk to people? Go on and laugh. Because it is funny. Because we say we are people of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are the carriers of the Holy Spirit. And we're to declare to people about the goodness of Jesus and how he saved you and how he raised you. But is that what you're talking about when I see y'all cluttered in circles? God and land. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But the question is, do you love the Lord with all your heart? And this is what Jesus said. We need to search this. If you all are going to go out and be a light to the world, representing our Heavenly Father, Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And he said it another way, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And we talk a lot about obedience around here. Minister Cheryl is good with telling everybody, stay in your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But church, we must demonstrate our love for God, number one, by being obedient to this word. Are you? And I'm just a voice calling out to you all. Don't take this thing personal. This is not an attack on you. But God wants his people to be obedient to this word. So are you living a life that will glorify your Heavenly Father, really? Good day for a reflection. See, I haven't stood here in a long time. But are you really? Are you even trying? We talked about some people that refuse to take communion. We talked about that in Sunday school. Because they have no intentions of repenting and doing the right thing. Because we know if we confess our sins that God is faithful and just to forgive us. And we kneel once again at that altar to be restored in the right relationship with God. So what are your intentions, church? When you come up into the house of the Lord, what is your intentions? Do you come to see people or you come to give God some glory? To give God some praise? Why are you here this morning? Do you love God? And I asked you like this girl did in, this morning in the... Listen, don't you love God? Don't you love God? Like, what's wrong with your sister? Brother, don't you love God? Why are you acting the way you acting? Why are you talking the way you talking? Don't you love God? Hallelujah. But God has just been so good to us. How can you not love God? He stayed on that cross, bleeding, dying for you, so that your sins will be forgiven. Don't you love God? So that we may be saved, so that we may have an eternal life. Don't you love God? Does your behavior say you love the Lord? See, a lot of people tell me they love me, but I watch what they do. Does your actions tell me you love me? First man will tell you, I don't want to hear all that I love you stuff. Show me. Show me. And that's what God wants to see. Do you love me? Don't you love God? And one of the purposes of the church is to show God love through worship, not just obedience. So I look at when the worship is going on, who's talking and who's worshiping God, And I want to stop sometime and say, don't you love God? Why are you talking? Don't you love God? Don't you see the worship going on? But see, I pray for him instead, but in my spirit, I want to just walk down and say, don't you love God? He's done so much for us. He saved your soul. He made you whole. He forgave all your sin and all your mess. Don't you love God? So be mindful when you're in the house of God, when the worship is going on. That's a way we show we love God. Stop that talking and playing with games, that texting on the phone. Because I'm going to start walking out there and saying, don't you love God? So if you see me coming towards you, don't run, because I'm going to ask you the question, don't you love God? Don't you know what he did for you? Come on with you. See, it's all about love. Everything Jesus was saying in these passages, he wanted us to know, it's all about love. God knew we couldn't get it right, so he sent Jesus. He came down in the form of a baby to forgive us. So when you come into the house of the Lord, can't you worship him? Because I'm coming out there now. I'm going to ask people like Zion, don't you love God? Jeremiah, don't you love God? Come on, Marcus, don't you love God? I'm going to ask Zoe. Zoe, don't you love God? Because we have to train our babies up very early, and they watch what you all are doing. Remember that. What you all do in church is what they do. Amen. So don't be surprised if you see me one Sunday preaching and I start to come out the pulpit and I slowly move towards you. Because, see, we want to get it right in here, church. We want to be different. We want to be a light unto the world that will draw other men and women unto God. But first it starts in the household right here. Can we get it right in this place before we go out and try to tell somebody else? Because that's why they say people don't want to hear from Christians. You come up sometimes and shout in the church, and then you go out in the world and act like a fool. Excuse me, Lord. Doing everything that the world is doing. Because you fed your mind with the ways of the world. It's what you're watching on that TV and what you're reading. So you act like the world. They can't even tell the difference when you're in the club on Saturday night. You say you're a Christian. Don't you love God? Are you acting like you love the Lord? God requires that of us. The two scriptures that we are committing an abundant life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I hope you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, don't try to love me. Hallelujah. So listen, can I get on through this? In our morning text, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. He's teaching about the love for God, not the love of God, because we know God loves us. He's teaching about the love for God and the love for your neighbor. And instead of the church debating these doctrines, we should be obeying and making sure we love God and others. See, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, too many churches are debating doctrine. They're talking about theological issues. What denomination is the right denomination? Instead of debating all those issues, they simply need to walk by these two scriptures. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Stop talking about little stuff. I hear people debating the Bible, but do you have it right? Do you love the Lord and do you love your neighbor? It's that simple. All that other stuff doesn't matter because Jesus said so. All the law and the prophets are covered by those two things. If you love God and love people, stop debating the scriptures. Jesus didn't say anything about it. He wouldn't even debate with them. The Bible says you owe no one anything except to love them. For love is fulfills the law. You don't owe anybody. If you love them, you got it. It's taken care of. It's done. When you look at the commandments, it says you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You should not murder. You should not bear false witness. You should not covet. All those commandments are summed up in love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to do any of that stuff. You ain't going out trying to kill anybody. You ain't going out trying to grab somebody in the chest. You ain't doing that stuff. That is not loving, church. Abundant life is going to be different. We're going to be a light for God because we are going to walk in love wherever we go. That is the commitment. And if you see your brother and sister of abundant life not doing that, pray with them. Don't gossip about them. Pray with them. Because our church wants to be different. We don't want to play church. Church inside and somebody else outside when we leave this building. Pray with them. We don't talk about one another up in here. If we fall down, God said we can get up. Confess your sins. Pray one for another. Because we all walk in this flesh. We all make mistakes. So if you're going to love your neighbor, you'll forgive them. You'll pray with them. And you'll keep on walking and don't look back. That stuff is old. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. And then Jesus told us another thing. Loving your neighbor means that you are willing to minister to them. The church exists to minister to people. Minister means to demonstrate God's love and help people meet their needs. The church is to minister to all kinds of needs. Spiritual, emotional, relational, physical. Jesus said, even if you give a cold water, a cup of cold water in my name, you have ministered. You've acted in obedience to my word. So in the answer to the Pharisees' question, Jesus explains this, and that's what we have to get. If we love God and we love our neighbors, we've done what God requires of us. It's really kind of basic. Reminds me of Brother Stan when he said that he didn't know it was so easy to be saved. So once you're saved, you have a commitment to act in love. I love my God and I love my neighbor. I love my God. Are y'all loving people? Amen. We got something to say. Oh, yes, we are. Sister Chicole, are you a loving person? Don't answer. Amen. Amen. So let's just be real and let's try to close this out this morning. Most of us are very selective when it comes to love and who we love. Am I right about it? We love people that love us. Am I right? If they love me, okay then, I can tolerate that. But can you love people that mistreat you? Can you love people that talk about you, Erica? You can? Amen. Can you still show them love once they have just ran your name all through the mud? Really? See, this is what God is talking about. He's talking about agape love, divine love. No matter what people do to you, you still love them and pray for them. Come on. Sister Aki, are you able to do that? Because this is what Jesus is telling us. Because we're going to have to keep on walking. Whatever they do, we got to keep on walking with God. We got to put our hands in his hands. And we got to just keep pressing on. We can't be pulled back because of what other people do. I've heard someone say that this person gets on my nerves. I can't be happy in their presence. But I would simply tell you this. Don't let nobody and don't let nothing steal your joy. Because your joy comes from the Lord. You should be walking around celebrating what God has done for you. That little stuff they're doing is small stuff. Small stuff. And believers, we can't let small stuff pull us away from our relationship with our holy God. Come on, people. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to close this out, but there's so much coming in my spirit as I look at you all. God keeps feeding something new and different in my spirit. But the bottom line is this. If we get this love thing right, we have done all that God requires of us. When you can't get it right, join hands with sister or brother. Help pray for me. I'm struggling with this thing. Don't try to do it by yourself, because it's only the Holy Spirit that works in us that helps us to love people when they're not lovable. Because there's plenty of unlovable people in the world. Come on with me. Some of us, we're living with some of them. Unlovable people. But you trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit in you, because this is what my God requires of you. Hallelujah. Help me, God, wind this up. So as we move to take Holy Communion today, and as we move into the Easter service, or the Easter week, we must celebrate it all because of love, because all of this is about love. It's not about eggs. It's not about little cute rabbits. But it's about love. It's about what God did for all of us. God so loved the world, get it straight, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall ever have everlasting life. See, that's good news to celebrate. So God wants us, his people, to represent him well on this earth, loving one another. So I leave this with you. Let your light so shine before men, showing the love of God to all, that you would glorify your Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And others would want to know more about this love. Because I know for myself, I've gone through some things, but I know that love lifted me when nothing else would do. Love lifted me. I don't know about you all. God's love lifted me. When I, this is me now, not you all, because y'all don't know anything about sin. When I was sinking deep in sin, when I was sinking deep in sin, it was God. It was God's love that lifted me. God heard my despairing cry. See, I know I couldn't stop all that stuff on my own. God lifted me. So that's why I've decided, church, I've decided to follow Jesus. I can stand before you like First Man sung the other Sunday. No turning back. No turning back. The world now is behind me. The cross is where I look to. The world, I said, is behind me. I don't have to watch all that chuck on TV and go to all those movies. I don't have to do that anymore. Because the world stuff is behind me. No turning back. No turning back. See, I've decided, let's have a little bit of that, to follow Jesus. Have you all, is anybody here this morning that decided, I want to be obedient. I'm going to love God.